The past several weeks, I've enjoyed replaying the songs that the Faith Builders Chorus shared with us. As a part of that program, my brother Tim gave us an introduction to the Shakers, a spiritual movement that he said emphasized personal humility and were characterized by an exuberant worship of God. One of the Shaker hymns that they shared with us is very simple and yet profound in its expression of this humility. Lay me low. Lay me low where the Lord can find me, where the Lord can own me, where the Lord can bless me. Lay me low. This song and its theme of humility dovetailed with a book that I've been reading in my devotions the past several weeks, A Tale of Three Kings, A Study in Brokenness by Gene Edwards. I'm guessing a number of you may have read it. The first half of the book traces God's work in David's heart under the mad King Saul. As Saul was hunting for David, God was using those experiences to bring about a brokenness in David's heart that prepared him for the kingship, that prepared him to be a better king than King Saul. I'll read a short excerpt. David was caught in a very uncomfortable position. However, within his circumstance, he seemed to grasp a deep understanding of the unfolding drama in which he had been caught. He seemed to understand something that few of even the wisest men of his day understood, something which even in our day, when men are wiser still, fewer understand. And what was that? God did not have, but very much wanted to have, men who would live in pain. God wanted a broken vessel. Little has changed in 3,000 years since King David's life. God is still looking for broken vessels. He still prizes brokenness and humility and a dependence on him. And he can only use us effectively to the extent that we are broken before him and before other people. So as I've been thinking on this theme of brokenness, I've also been asking God to bring more brokenness in my life. Do you ever notice how prayers for healing and things like that, God can seem to take his time in answering, but when you pray for brokenness or humility, he seems to be right there with opportunities for growth. Within a day, I faced a situation in dealing with a certain tenant in our work that seemed to fit the bill quite nicely. Both during and after our tense conversation, I was sorting through the unjust things that he was saying and sorting through my responses to the situation, ranging from noble to somewhat less than noble. Less than noble. It all left me feeling a little mixed up and unsettled. And as I was wrestling through the experience and trying to figure out what God was trying to say to me, I finally found peace when I realized that God was using this as a lesson in his school of brokenness. Despite my best efforts, I didn't have it all together. We weren't being praised as the best landlords ever, and frankly, I wasn't quite sure how I should have responded better the next time. How do I make sense out of a situation like that? And so God was showing me my neediness, showing me that I don't have it all together and that I need him, and allowing me to grow in my brokenness and my dependence on him. Later, as I shared my tangled thoughts and feelings with my dear wife, she sweetly told me that she often prays that God could use me, but she hadn't thought about how hard or painful that process might be. Isn't that where many of us are? Oh yes, we want God to shape us for his service, but please take us by the easy route. For the next few minutes, I'd like to meditate on the indispensable role of brokenness in the Christian's walk. Brokenness is the path that brings us to God. It is the posture in which we abide in his presence, and it is the condition for fruitfulness in his service. First, we come to the Lord in brokenness as needy sinners. This is our path to him, to repent and cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness. Psalm 34, 15 through 18 says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry." And then a contrast. "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Brokenness is the path that brings us to God because it brings us to the end of our own sufficiency and causes us to wholly depend on him. The song says, "Lay me low where the Lord can find me." And we could turn the phrase to say, where we find the Lord. We find him at the end of our rope, when our resources have run out. Another song expresses this truth: "When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun." So we recognize that we need to come to the Lord in brokenness, but we also need to abide in that spirit of brokenness. We'd like to graduate from the school of brokenness. We'd like to get it all together and have walk in strength and confidence. Despite the cliche catchphrase to the contrary, we tend to feel like meekness is weakness. But the Lord calls us to abide in this spirit of brokenness and dependence. Recently, I was in conversation with an acquaintance of mine about his walk with the Lord, and he told me that he prays every night, sometimes extensively. But he said, "I never pray for anything for myself. I don't ask the Lord for things. I just pray for others." And I think he felt like that was a noble stance, like he didn't want to be selfish in his Christian walk or use God like a blessing dispenser. And I respect that. But I wonder if there isn't a subtle danger in that position as well. One that doesn't recognize our desperate daily need of God. One that doesn't appreciate our own brokenness and lostness without his sustaining grace. And I wonder if it doesn't lead to failing to cry out to him to rescue us from our humanity. One of my favorite quotes comes from Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart. And I know I've raved about it before, but I couldn't find it in any of my previous devotional notes. So if you've heard me share it, I offer no apology for sharing it again. He says, "To grow in grace means to utilize more and more grace to live by until everything we do is assisted by grace. Then, whatever we do in word or deed will all be done in the name of the Lord Jesus," Colossians 3:17. "The greatest saints are not those who need less grace, but those who consume the most grace, who indeed are the most in need of grace. Those who are saturated by grace in every dimension of their being. Grace to them is like breath." These saints are not trying to graduate from the school of brokenness and dependence. They're growing deeper and deeper into dependence on God's grace. God is calling each one of us to abide in a spirit of brokenness before him. Only then can he fill us with his power. "Lay me low where the Lord can own me." The Lord delights to own and fill and possess and empower the helpless by his indwelling spirit. Thirdly, we are fruitful through brokenness. We want to be used by God, and God wants to use us. He is searching for men and women who are fit for service in his kingdom. And we look to the great saints of the past, and we long to be one of them. We want to be a spiritual giant for the Lord. And we pray for God to fill us with his power. I'll read another excerpt from this book, a little lengthier. "Many men pray for the power of God, more every year. Those prayers sound powerful, sincere, godly, and without ulterior motive. Hidden under such prayer and fervor, however, are ambition, a craving for fame and the desire to be considered a spiritual giant. The man who prays such prayer may not even know it, but such dark motives and desires are in his heart and in your heart. Even as men pray these prayers, they are hollow inside. There is little internal spiritual growth. Prayer for power is the quick and the short way, circumnavigating internal growth. There is a vast difference between the outward clothing of the Spirit's power and the inward filling of the Spirit's life. In the first, despite the power, the hidden man of the heart may remain unchanged. In the latter, that monster is dealt with. And he goes on to say that God often answers these prayers for power, even in unworthy vessels. And he does this so that the power in their lives will display the emptiness inside and bring it to the light. That's a terrifying thought. Then he finishes, what does this world need? Gifted men outwardly empowered, or broken men inwardly transformed? God is not so much concerned about what we can accomplish for him as about the transformation that he wants to accomplish in our hearts. Lay me low where the Lord can bless me. I've heard it said that our progression into humility and brokenness follows at least three distinct stages of growth. First, we want to do great things for the Lord, and we like if other people notice what we're doing. And secondly, we want to do great things for the Lord, and we don't much care whether we get any recognition for it or not. And finally, we get to the point where we rejoice when God does great things, and it doesn't really matter whether he chooses to use us or not. You see, finally the focus is on God and what he's accomplishing and off of ourselves. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Brokenness is the path by which we come to God. It's the position in which we abide in him. And it's the condition for fruitfulness in his service. May you and I embrace the experiences, even painful experiences, that God uses as lessons in his school of brokenness, so that we may experience his presence and power and grace in our lives. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord God, you are the high and holy one. You are exalted above the heavens, and yet you reach down and are intimately involved in our lives. And Lord, what you call for, what you long for, is a broken and contrite spirit before you that recognizes our sinfulness, our neediness, and that reaches out to you daily for grace and strength. And Lord, we confess our desire to be free from brokenness, to have it all together so that we don't need to live with the pain of brokenness, so that we don't need to live with having others see our brokenness. But Lord, that denies you the opportunity to display your glory and your power in our lives. And so we pray that you would give us the grace to embrace what you bring into our lives that brings brokenness. And Lord, we commit ourselves to living in your power and in your grace and for your glory. I pray a blessing on our Sunday school time. Pray that you would bless each teacher and students as we discuss together your word. Be present with us in Jesus' name. Amen.